Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Jump-starting the back half of the show at noon with the Beltway Blitz, as always. Couple of teams in town you care the most about. Jeff Luhnow's statement yesterday, the former president of the Astros who got fired with the manager of the Astros, A.J. Hinch, was pretty stunning. Came out and said he's not a cheater, basically blamed players and the bench coach.
It was everyone else's fault, not mine.
Low-ranking employees. Whoa. Maybe I would have done a different statement if I was Luhnow, who I like a whole lot and think has had a lot of success. But he obviously not happy about losing his job over what happened. We'll get into that at 12:18. But let's get the Blitz started on the gridiron. Chris Russell joins us now. Slash, you watched the national championship game last night. Whole lot of players in that game would look good in burgundy and gold, huh?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I was kind of split at Capital One Arena watching the hockey and the championship game. But I mean, listen, if the Redskins are almost lucky they're in the number two spot, right? Because what would you do? I mean, if you had the number one overall pick and you could take Joe Burrow, who just put darts and dimes right on the field, right in front of everybody's eyes, what the hell would you do?
Would take the guy who looks like a generational talent. And you're the opposite of lucky because you don't get to do that or trade back for 58 draft picks.
Well, I mean, that's one way, of course, to look at it. Now, I mean, you could look at the number two overall pick as being where the draft starts and a desired spot still, not only for Tua, but also for Chase Young or for somebody else. But the point of the matter is, could you imagine the intrigue over the next 3 months? I mean, it would be great for us if we had that legitimate dilemma, because I don't know about you guys. I'm not sold that Ron Rivera is 100% a believer in Dwayne Haskins.
Well, go into that. Why?
A lot of the, you know, I try not to read too much into the quotes, but certainly some of his quotes from an introductory press conference were, I guess, eye-opening to me. And then I look at and I say, okay, what they did with Cam Newton in Carolina, and, you know, of course, Ron was there, and Norv was there, and Scott Turner were there. You know, that guy's a different dude. He's obviously huge, and he's very mobile. Do they want somebody more like that? Now, Haskins showed me more mobility than I think he displayed in his brief tenure at Ohio State, which is why everybody was down on him. But I don't know if they want somebody more along the lines of a how you see Patrick Mahomes the other day, rolling the pocket all the time, Deshaun Watson, you know, the type of quarterbacks that we see that quite honestly have a lot of success. I don't know if we're there or if we're ever going to get there with Dwayne Haskins. And then, I don't know, and Grant, maybe Grant has heard something different. I still hear from people around the league that don't love his leadership, don't love his work ethic, don't love a lot of things, little things that are not so little things about him. I'm not saying I believe them all. I'm just saying that's what you hear. And then when you hear other stuff coming out from Redskins Park and from pockets at Redskins Park, now it certainly got better. I just wonder if 2-2 in that case equals 4.
Well, I don't still hear that. I heard all those things early on. I think a lot of that was when he was a backup and probably just wasn't thinking he was going to play, so he didn't do the things you have to do as
a
starter.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Yeah, so I don't know as a starter if he was putting in that work.
Yeah.
I'd assume he was. Right. What I would tell you is this. I'm curious about how much the opinions in the building changed with how well he played at the end of last year.
I'm sure.
Because I know what the opinions were before those games, and they were not very high on him.
Right.
The offensive coordinator just chose to leave.
Yes.
An offensive coordinator choosing to leave after you draft a guy in the first round coming off of his rookie season is revealing.
Correct.
Now, people that are very pro-Haskins are going to hear that and get angry at me, and that's fine. People that are anti-Haskins, I'm sure, are going to adamantly be in their corner as well. But if you're kind of with me where you react when he plays well, you react when he plays poorly, and you're kind of waiting to see what happens here, my point is Kevin O'Connell did not want to be here very clearly to me. He
right.
wanted to go work with Josh McDaniels or Sean McVay or go somewhere else. Why is that? I know he didn't like dealing with Bill Callahan.
Yeah.
Bill Callahan is gone. So that if he was dealing with a guy that he thought was the next great quarterback in the league, Wouldn't you hitch your wagon to that guy?
I mean, yes, I would think, unless things were so icy between him and Ron Rivera, which kind of hard to believe.
They met, from what I was told, for 6 hours and hit it off. And by the way, how much of that conversation was about Haskins? You talk about what Rivera thinks of Haskins. And again, I'm assuming. I have not talked to Kevin O'Connell about this
But neither have I.
My point is, if Kevin O'Connell is saying in that meeting, well, here's what I think of Haskins, whose opinion is basically shaping Rivera's is my point. He's talking to people who have worked with the guy, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of whom just left.
Yes.
First chance he got.
Listen, I don't want to automatically jump to that conclusion, but I was along those lines in what you're just outlaying. And I'm sorry, I know this is going to upset people, and I know Craig has talked about this. It bothered me to no end that he wasn't putting in the work when he was a backup. And I know Jay treated him like a redheaded stepchild. I got it. It bothered me to no end. You know what? You're a professional. I don't care if you're 22. I need you to be 32, not 22. And I need you to put in the work all the time, every week, in January, in April, in August, in October. I need you to put in the work. That's what this position requires. You think Tom Brady, doesn't prepare, if he doesn't think he's playing in week 17 or whatever. No, of course not. You know, and I know that's a rough example. I'm just using that as some sort of parallel. Now, I do understand it got better, and there is no doubt the performance got better. I'm also worried, quite honestly, about his durability at this point. I know it's a jump to quick reaction. Yeah, hurt in 2 or 3 games because he holds on to the ball too long, doesn't always see things right away. Again, that's going to get better. But as a quarterback, and this is why I valued Kirk Cousins as much and maybe differently than you guys, durability is the most important thing in today's game, especially at the quarterback position. And Haskins was hurt in 2 out of the last 3 games he played in.
Russell, thank you, buddy. Nobody send a Twitter picture of Tom Brady at a Celtics game to Chris Russell. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
See you, my friend.
You'll
Let's talk some puck,
that
please.
To me later.
I will explain that to you. Brian McNally joins us to talk some puck. NBC Sports Washington. Backstrom, extension, Capitals. Yay, it feels good, but is it a good deal?
I think it's a good deal, guys. Like, you're going to look, he's headed into his mid-30s. That's always an area fraught when you give a guy over $9 million. But I think Nick Backstrom is more than earned that contract. 5 years instead of, they could have given him 8, maybe reduce that cap hit. I think they decided that was the the better way to go. Maybe Brian McClellan would have preferred 3 or 4 years, but sometimes you got to bite the bullet, give the guy who's given you so much a little bit extra, and that's what the Caps have done here.
Brian, what kind of next 5 years do you think Nicklas Backstrom's capable of?
That's a good question, Grant. Like, what's he going to be in year 4 and 5? I think the next 3 is fine. I mean, guys have played a high level at center well into their careers. Joe Thornton did it for the Sharks almost to age 40, gradually slid down the lineup, became more of a complementary top center, and eventually transitioned kind of into their third center. And the Sharks certainly have had no problems going deep in the playoffs because they developed other guys. The Capitals have Evgeny Kuznetsov. So I think Backstrom will play fine at about his level for the next couple of years. And if in the last year or two he's a little bit, you have to make him the third line center when Lars Eller's contract is up, you can do that and get away with it, I think. So, again, not a team that's looking too far down the road. They have their eyes on another cup here in the next year or two, and then we'll figure things out after that. But I think having a player like Backstrom, wherever you put him in the lineup, they'll be okay even a couple of years from now.
Brian, I'd like to offer you a personal update. I now hate the Carolina Hurricanes. I don't hate them as much as I hate Pittsburgh or, old school teams like the Rangers and the Flyers, et cetera. But Carolina's in my circle of hatred. So people missed that last night because they're watching the national title game. That win meant a lot to me. It sounds like it meant a lot to the Caps, too, with Ovi lighting the lamp a couple times in a shutout piece.
Yeah, I think so, Danny. That's a team that obviously they eliminated them in the playoffs last year, but also games get chippy between those two teams now. It wasn't like this back in the old Southeast Division days. The Hurricanes won their cup when the Caps were still rebuilding, and then by the time the Caps became good, the Hurricanes had begun like a decade of irrelevance where no one knew they were even in the league. Now they're back. Now that place down there in Raleigh is jumping. It's possible, very possible, that those two teams could play in the playoffs again this year. Last night was a good preview. Caps jumped on him early. Ovechkin with his two goals. Boston played a really good game. Good sign from Ilya Samsonov to get his first shutout. And now he's beaten the Hurricanes twice. So that's another thing that maybe factors in as you get toward the playoffs. If for whatever Braden Holtby gets hurt or struggles really badly and you have to turn to Samsonov, the guy that, you know, has beaten one of the better teams in the Metro Division twice now. So I'm glad they joined your circle of hate. It's always fun to have more rivals. Yep. And I think the Caps and Canes are trying to get to that level. Certainly at last year's playoffs had kind of ramped this up a little bit. It's fun.
Thanks, Brian.
Appreciate it, guys.
There's Brian McNally on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, and that is your Beltway Blitz. We have not yet commented on the promotion of Kyle Smith yesterday, so we could do that next. Another shakeup with some promotions in the Redskins front office, including news that just came out on Kyle Smith's replacement. So we'll get to that, and we'll turn our attention to the Houston Astros getting handed a massive penalty by Major League Baseball, and then the owner of the Astros firing the manager and the team president at the controls when they cheated and won a World Series. For Grant and Danny. At 1 o'clock on Grant and Danny, are you buying the Joe Burrow hype? Because that balloon is floating into the air today. It's taken off. What's he going to be? There's some helium there. What will his future hold in Cincinnati when he becomes the number one pick in the draft in about 4 months? We'll get to that on Grant and Danny coming up in 40 minutes. But before we get into the Astros and the penalty that was handed down by Major League Baseball, yesterday there was huge Redskins news, and on any other day we would have talked about this a lot already. It just so happens with the national championship game and the Nicholas Backstrom contract this morning. There's been a lot of other things to cover, but the Redskins did make front office changes yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Smith, who we've talked about on the show quite a bit, was elevated from the pro scouting department where he ran the draft room to essentially the highest ranking role in the front office. The Redskins don't have a GM. So right below the GM in front offices around the NFL is a role called the Director of Player Personnel or the Vice President of Player Personnel, which is the terming the Redskins use. The VP of player personnel is the guy that both the college director and the pro director answer to. Kyle Smith has been the Redskins' college director the last 2 years. Their pro director is a guy named Alex Santos. So now, instead of being the college director who runs the draft room, Smith gets elevated to that player personnel position, which was previously occupied by Doug Williams.
Mm-hmm.
For the record, he just had the title. He didn't really do the responsibilities completely of that role, as it were, behind the scenes. Kyle Smith now will. So my question yesterday was, well, will Kyle Smith have a dual role where he runs the draft and Alex Santos just answers to him on the pro side? And they just announced, the Redskins did within the last 10 minutes, that Tim Gribble, who was the highest-ranking senior scout under Kyle Smith on the college amateur side, has been elevated to Kyle's old job. So to make this all make sense, here's your new structure in the front office. Your head coach, Ron Rivera, despite not having the title of a vice president of football operation, is basically that guy. He is the head coach and GM for the moment.
Do you believe he'll remain there now that they've made these moves?
I think it's more likely with these moves. I think we got to wait and see how his rapport goes with Kyle Smith, how well Smith does in this role. Is it a success? Is it harmonious? Does everybody like working together? My guess is that they will. Because Bruce Allen was a source of a lot of frustration for a lot of these guys. Doug Williams, in the role that he was in, I think was a frustration at times for a lot of these guys that are actually doing a lot of this work and, you know, never talking to the media, not getting any advancement in their careers. So I think now that you have kind of the band of a lot of the worker bees together, I think that's going to go better probably. And for the record, I'm super glad Doug Williams is still with the team. He's a legend. He's an icon. He's a Redskins deity, so to speak. He's the first African-American quarterback to win a Super Bowl. He should be treated with reverence, and he is. He's just now in a role that's, frankly, one that he should be executing, which is kind of player mentor and helping these young players in their lives and on the football field deal with things he did many, many years ago. He went through more than a lot of these guys ever could imagine during his career. But the current structure is Rivera, who's the head coach, and the VP football ops, so to speak, kind of that Shanahan dual role until they get a GM. Then under him, the right-hand man to the GM is the director of player personnel. That's Kyle Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And then under Smith, there's two branches that branch off. College scouting department, pro scouting department.
For folks that may not know, the difference is college, obviously, who's playing on Saturdays, let's beat the bushes, let's go to the Senior Bowl, let's go to all the different places
right.
and find the kids who haven't played in the pros yet. Alex Santos is, hey guys, it's Monday afternoon, we've got a rash of injuries, we got six spots to fill, let's bring in 12 guys to try out and have them run around.
He's got a list that he provides now Kyle Smith. Kyle Smith provides Ron Rivera with the 20 best players available at all times at every position.
Mm-hmm.
Here's all the tackles that we could sign in a pinch. This is your in-season addition. This is, you know, the department where you bring in Adrian Peterson for a workout in training camp. That's your pro side. For the record, around the league, the Redskins' college side is much higher regarded than their pro side, for whatever that's worth. And I think a lot of that has to do with how successful Kyle Smith has been, by the way. But so now he gets elevated. So he's in that role. And Tim Gribble, you don't know him, you don't need to know him. Just know he's replacing Kyle Smith as basically the guy running the draft. Alex Santos stays on the pro side in his same role. That's your front office pecking order. Now, people make jokes about, we don't recognize these guys. Who cares? Well, you should care. This matters. The front office matters. The GM matters. The director player personnel matters. I know that it's not the quarterback. You don't have his jersey. But this stuff matters. This is where games are won and lost. This is where you give yourself a chance or you don't. So we can make all the jokes we want about not being able to recognize these guys if they're standing in front of you. It matters.
So, it matters to me a lot. And here's where I would go with this. The thing that we never knew, even under Mike Shanahan, right, a guy that came in with a lot of cachet, you didn't know what was done with the reports, for lack of a better way to put it, right? Let's say you're in charge. Let's say it's Grant Shanahan over there. I'm, you know, the South SEC scout, or I'm the scout that's responsible for Texas, or whatever the hell you come up with, right? I come back and I go, here's my reports for true. I've got some really thorough research done. Will you read it? No, I'm doing my own thing.
Right.
You never knew. And I'm not saying Shanahan did or didn't. I don't know. You didn't know with Gibbs. You didn't know with Serato because it was like, that's a nice scout. We appreciate it. Vinny and me, talking about Dan Snyder, we're going to Notre Dame to watch Jimmy, whatever that idiot's name, Jimmy the Pickle Clawson throw, just to see if we like him or not. I mean, that was the sense. Good organizations. Number one, have a GM. We're not there yet. We're sniffing it, though. We're hovering around having a general manager.
For all intents and purposes, Kyle Smith, as of now, is your acting general manager.
Mm-hmm.
Really, Ron Rivera is your acting GM.
Yes.
But the guy in the front office everyone's answering to is Kyle Smith,
yes.
who's been bumped up a level.
But that's sort of 1A. But everybody else has this, right, where the head coach goes, this is the kind of system I'm running. And then you get a whole front office all the way down to the scouts going, we need to pick the best players for that. What the Redskins have done forever is have multiple wheels and multiple plates kind of spinning that don't line up. The gears don't match up. You want the gears to match up so then everybody's working in harmony, right? We're a 4-3 team now, so let's go get 4-3 guys instead of 3-4 guys and converting this guy to that guy and then making him be a different position, making him lose weight, gain weight, change what he is. Not the thing that he did that made him great, but something else that we think he'll be able to project to. You have a cohesive working organization where everybody pulls the rope in the same direction. This is what you do, and this is how you do it. So good on the Redskins.
Yeah. I love the structure based on not having made a change yet. My preference would have been go hire a GM. Now, what I would be stunned by is if they get a big-time GM at this point. Like a John Dorsey or one of these guys like that is not coming in
here. Too big a personality.
Right. You're not coming in to inherit a staff that's kind of already in place. The elevation of Kyle Smith means either you're bringing in a guy you're very familiar with, like a Marty Herney from Carolina, if you're Ron Rivera, who you kind of slot in, who doesn't have a huge ego, who can work with whoever, and you know it'll go well. Maybe a Morocco Brown, who's been here for years and years, who's with the Colts right now running their draft room, who used to be the boss of Kyle Smith previously here in Washington. Maybe he comes back. He's the GM above Kyle, who's above the other two guys. I could see that. By and large, though, I think they're setting this up to give Kyle Smith a chance, perhaps, if this works,
mm-hmm.
where Bill O'Brien style, Rivera's head coach and GM, so to speak, Kyle's the highest-ranking front office right-hand man that answers to him. And maybe that's just the way they move forward now. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Did Major League Baseball do enough to the Houston Astros with the firings? Did they do enough to the Houston Astros with the suspensions before the firings of the manager and the president by the team, I should say? You are listening to The Fan.
Yeah.
Yesterday was a day in sports history that's going to end up in the books that get read about many, many, many years from now. The Astros and Commissioner Rob Manfred have been in constant contact and in negotiations on essentially trying to figure out what they were doing to cheat, how involved the highest-ranking officials in the organization were as it pertained to sign-stealing by way of technology. And Manfred decided that he would give the Astros one of the harshest penalties ever handed down in the history of baseball yesterday. They used technology, video, to illegally steal signs throughout the 2017 season and postseason all their way to a World Series title. All the way to a championship, they were cheating. And we caught them. We, not me or you, but
right.
Major League Baseball.
The world.
Social media had a field day with this where they depicted banging noises, and that got sent, and it turns out players were hitting the trash can to let their teammates know from the tunnel that a breaking ball was coming. How much better and cooler is it, by the way, that the Nats beat them in the World Series now?
Oh, yeah. It's great.
So the penalty that was handed down yesterday, $5 million fine to the Astros, maybe the biggest deal, I thought, they had to forfeit their first and their second-round picks for the next 2 years. Back-to-back Junes, they don't pick before the third round. That's a huge deal for a team that is built on the draft, on scouting, on player development. I thought that was the biggest of all the punishments, and it was massive and incredible that baseball did that. But then, in an eye-opening move and a stunner to me, manager A.J. Hinch suspended for a full season, not allowed to manage, and the GM president of the operation, the guy that ran the whole front office there, Mike Rizzo, Jeff Luhnow, suspended for an entire year. So think about this if this is the Nats. Mm-hmm. No Rizzo, no Davey Martinez, no first-round or second-round picks the next 2 years and $5 million. A crippling, devastating setback to this organization. As crazy as that was, though, Danny, within an hour of that announcement, and the news was broken by Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic, the Astros owner, Jim Crane, called a press conference. And the thought initially was he was just going to react to the news and apologize on behalf of the organization. And he started the presser by firing Luhnow and Hinch. So the one-year suspensions that they had,
they still got to serve them.
They're still going to serve them. Now, I don't know if they get to serve them while they're fired now, or if when they get hired by somebody, they have to serve
those
suspensions.
That's a great question. I don't know.
Because that would honestly probably keep A.J. Hinch from ever getting hired again. And it may well keep Luhnow from ever getting hired again, as if either of them could get a job anyway at this point. But they both got fired. There are major ripple effects here. Alex Cora, directly implicated. Carlos Beltran, both now managers elsewhere, were heavily involved in 2017 with what the Astros were doing. So we can get into that in a minute. But first, your reaction to the punishments. $5 million, first and second round forfeitures in the draft. Hinch and Luhnow suspended. You and I tried to do like the craziest, hottest, coolest, biggest thing we could do a couple months ago when we talked about this. And it was basically this exact punishment.
Yeah, this approached mine. I mean, the $5 million fine, the most you're allowed to do under the CBA, is nothing. Honestly, that's nothing. That's a nice weekend when the Red Sox are in town.
A couple of
that's
beers didn't get sold.
You know, I mean, that's nothing. And any team, by the way, caught would sacrifice $5 million for a win or whatever else. I mean, that's what you're paying. The value of one war, a.k.a. one win above replacements, you know, $8 million. $5 million is nothing. And that part's almost comical to me. It's like, and also, what do you got in your pockets? You got to do that, too.
All right.
So beyond that.
It's the maximum, to your point, threshold.
Yeah. So the huge punishments to me are what you alluded to, and that's what I would have done. The only thing that I would have added is I would have reduced their luxury tax space, right? So you can't call it a salary cap because it's Major League Baseball, but that's what I would have done effectively is reduce their cap space by a little bit to make it tougher for them to compete over the next couple of years. But everything else they did is kind of what I would have done here.
Go far enough?
So I think here's how I think of it, right? Think of like you're walking up a ladder, okay? The roof is what I would have done. Like you get up to the roof to clean out your gutters and whatever else. They got to the point where they crossed the highest tier to take this very seriously. Like when you think of Spygate with the Patriots, it was Roger Goodell took one step up the ladder and goes, I'm on the ladder, and gave them the lightest punishment
this
ever.
This made Spygate look so embarrassing for the NFL, by
correct.
The way.
Correct. So this is, we take this scandal, which to me is the largest and most important since the Black Sox.
Baseball always does this.
I firmly believe that.
You got a problem with PEDs in baseball? We're going to make this the biggest story about our game for a few years.
Absolutely.
You think that's not happening in football and in other sports? I don't know why baseball gets a bad rap so that they just decide they're going to make it the thing.
Uh-huh.
But they're doing this now. The suspensions were fairly stunning to me, although I think reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
This is absolutely strong enough. They went farther than I thought they would. They went about as far as I would have, because I think it's important that you try to send a message and that this never happens again. The Astros were doing it to begin with because they thought they were smarter and no one would catch them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be another team at some point that thinks they're smarter
and
that
Red
no
Sox
one will
did
catch
it.
Them. But they didn't do it after this. I mean, this punishment tries to make sure that that doesn't happen. Somebody will. I think it gives you pause. I think it prevents you from confidently, comfortably doing this. But the all-time stunner yesterday wasn't even what baseball did. It's what Jim Crane did. The owner of the Astros firing these two outright.
There's two very important points I want to make today. I have higher standards for the city and the franchise, and I'm going above and beyond MLB's penalty. Today, I have made the decision to dismiss A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow. We need to move forward with a clean slate, and the Astros will become stronger, a stronger organization because of this today. You can be confident that we will always do the right thing and will not have this happen again on my watch.
I was listening to that live, and it was a Charlie Slow style here. Remember where you are so you can remember where you were. I mean, I couldn't believe those words, that he was firing those two guys. Not to say that their jobs shouldn't have been lost. I'm not defending what they did. This is a championship-level team that has put together an operation that is the envy of the sport, and Luhnow, who was great with the Cardinals and great with the Astros, and Hinch, who's regarded as one of the best managers in baseball. I mean, these are beloved, revered figures in their roles. I just thought Jim Crane would have said, well, baseball crushed us. You know, I'm not
they
happy
did it,
with
yeah.
these guys. He didn't. He came out, and maybe he wants a pat on the back. I don't know. Maybe he wants everyone to say, wow, good for you. Whatever the reason was, he fired them. I was shocked.
So a couple things on this. Now, these are obviously people aren't going to hear this the right way, but bear with me. Remember the free report about Penn State? Remember how when that came out and it was, obviously this is so terrible, but we need to look at the culture here.
Yeah.
The culture is what was on trial. And Penn State folks wouldn't have it. And college football said, you know, we'll just put our blinders on. We'll punish him for 2 years. Then we'll decide it's unconstitutional. We'll move on. And then
you see it at other places.
Yeah,
Baylor. Like,
when
these
they win
coaches
games,
do what they want.
Yeah, when they win games, everyone will kind of forget about it. And these kids will be heroes. And we'll just forget that this ever happened. Okay? This guy did the opposite of that. And you can't help but bring up the incident about their assistant GM yelling at the lady reporters about Roberto Osuna. You can't help but hear some of the stories anecdotally. And Manfred, in his statement, which I read, by the way, in his report about this, was scathing not only about this, but about the Astros culture. And that's, you know who's responsible for that? Hinch and Luhnow. They are. And whether they want to be or not. And that was kind of the point of his, of why he was so firm on this. Basically saying, they have this attitude and arrogance that not only are they smarter than everybody else, which is fine.
He basically said, look, these guys knew what was going on, and even though they didn't do it, they didn't start it, they didn't do anything about it either, and that's just as bad.
Yeah, they're thumbing their nose at everybody
else. And he said that they are going to be held accountable.
Well, I felt that with what came out in the report, they both had responsibilities, Jeff running the baseball operation and overseeing AJ and all of those people associated with that. And AJ on the bench and was aware, if you read the report, it's pretty clear. AJ didn't endorse it, and neither did Jeff. Neither one of them started this, but neither one of them did anything about it. And that's how we came to the conclusion.
This had to be brutal for him. Not that, you know, I don't know what he knew and what he didn't. But here's what I do know is this is the equivalent of like a marriage ending when everything was hunky-dory 3 days before that. Like, all they've done is win. All they've done is succeed.
Yeah.
You hired Luhnow, and he's built the best front office, arguably, in the sport. You bring in Hinch, and he's become one of the best managers in the game. You are the best team in baseball over the last few years. It's been great. Your relationship is perfect, and then you just find out one day, even though everything seems perfect, you've been getting cheated on for years. It's not like this awful marriage that's ending where you thank God you were out of here. I couldn't deal with her. You were the happiest guy in the world, and then all of a sudden you've got to get rid of this person. He's got to get rid of two people who he loves.
All they've done is win so much.
So much. And I mean, these are good dudes. I know both of them a little bit. Just from all the baseball stuff that I do at MLB Network Radio. I've interacted and interviewed both of them dozens of times. These are two of the most respected, not specific to their actions in this case, obviously. But I mean just in terms of being media savvy and accessible and doing a good job at what they're hired to do. These are really, really highly thought of guys. I can't imagine what this was like for Crane.
Jim, in all your business dealings prior to owning the Astros, now owning the Astros, is this your toughest day ever?
This is a tough day. I've had a lot of tough days over the years. But, yeah, this is a tough one.
Man, what a day for the Astros. So, let's do this. Phones are open, 800-636-1067. Did baseball go far enough? I think they absolutely did. I loved what they did because I think it sent a huge message. I know some people wanted to vacate the World Series.
It's not college sports.
Yeah, we could talk next segment on why I think that would have been a ridiculous idea, and I'm not really for doing that anyway.
So congrats to the Dodgers. Is that what we're doing now?
Let's give them the World Series. Are you getting all the rings back from all the players? I don't really know how that would have worked or how you legislate or do that. I'm not a big fan of that. But did they go far enough? And then what'd you think of the Astros firing those two? That was the thing yesterday that shocked me. I could not believe the team fired them. I just couldn't. 800-636-1067. What about Alex Cora with Boston? Carlos Beltran get hired by the Mets, both heavily involved in this. Could one or both of them lose their job? Grant and Danny on the Fan. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Phones are full. People want to weigh in on the Astros' punishment and the firing of manager A.J. Hinch and president Jeff Luhnow. These are the architects of the team that took the Nationals to Game 7. They got to and won the World Series in 2017, the year they were found to have been cheating. I don't think it stopped then and there, obviously. 2018, they got to the World League Championship Series and got eliminated by Boston. That Boston team is managed by Alex Cora. Alex Cora was the bench coach of the 2017 Astros, and in this report, it was determined that he was heavily involved in what was happening. In fact, in Jeff Luhnow's statement he put out yesterday, he said, "I'm not a cheater." He blamed the players and Alex Cora point blank.
Just real casual said, "Wasn't me. It was those guys. See you later."
Didn't name players, but he said the word players and bench coach. That was Cora. Cora's now in Boston. Boston won the World Series the next year. They got in trouble for using Apple Watches, by the way, the year he was there with the Red Sox. I have a hard time believing with the other two fired that the Red Sox will just stand pat by Cora. But if he keeps his job and doesn't get suspended, he's going to be really, really lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Major League Baseball still investigating him. There is a chance they come down with an iron fist on him as well. He could be suspended for a year. We just haven't heard yet.
He might get the toughest one of all, it sounds like.
Really?
That was one of the guys. Yeah, because the only two people that are named specifically here as like perpetrators or masterminds, Carlos Beltran and Cora. So who knows exactly how it's going to go. But basically, it's you two guys were generally in charge in terms of Hinch and Luhnow. These other guys, though, masterminds, orchestrators, logistical coordinators, you know, everything from being on the phone that's supposed to be for reviews on every pitch to the review room to try to get to decipher these things. The level of sophistication here, masterminded by those guys, it might be worse for them. Guessing, not predicting, saying. Maybe that's the reason we haven't heard yet.
800-636-1067, what should happen to Cora? Do you think the Red Sox will fire him because the Astros fired Hinch? I don't think they will, but I would have told you there was no way Houston was going to fire Hinch and Luhnow. I mean, that was the one that took. I stopped in my tracks. I couldn't believe it. The 1 year suspension, I said, wow, good for baseball. That's pretty hardcore. And I felt bad for those guys who I like, but you cheated. You got caught. Here is where I come from on this, and we'll get to the phones in just a second, 800-636-1067. I think the reason that I think it was ample and the reason that I'm surprised they went as hard as they did, I don't think the Astros are the only team doing this. I really don't. I mean, we know Boston did it last year, but if I had to guess, maybe it's not the exact same system. Mm. Maybe it's not the banging of trash cans. Do you think that those are the only two teams the last couple of years that cheated with technology to steal signs?
It's a great question.
I have a really hard time believing that. My guess is there's a lot of other teams that have been doing something pretty shady close to this that now have to say, okay, no more.
Well, think about this. You know, when you suspect somebody's got something on their glove or you know, Vaseline in their hat or whatever, and they're going to it or they're scuffing something. It's very rare that someone goes out and does something because you know guys in your dugout are doing the same thing. So people wonder, why is cheating allowed to go on? This seems like everybody knew about it. The Nationals spent the six-day layoff they had after they whooped the Cardinals' ass before the World Series practicing baseball and also basically making themselves into code breakers, making themselves into, you know, they're sitting there trying to decipher how to get instructions between pitcher and catcher.
Yeah.
Each pitcher had six different sets of indicators for signs and a different thing. Each one had different ones. So there were 60-some that each catcher had to learn.
Still beat them.
The level of sophistication is ridiculous. That's what they were doing. It's, so the point is, everybody knows this, and yet it's just now coming out 3 years later. Tells you that it makes you suspicious that there's probably other people that are doing this,
well,
too,
it's one of those
and nobody
things,
wants to
though,
be told on.
It's one of those things where I think everyone in baseball, including Manfred, knew it, and until everyone got mad about it, nobody really cared. But when the public's now involved and a player comes out and admits it, and there's no hiding from it, now you got to act like you're livid.
Mm.
We see this all the time. It's one of those things. You know, Manfred might even be firing off a text to Luno saying, dude, I'm so sorry I got to do this, but you get it. You know what's going on. This right. is the public wants their flesh. John in D.C., what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. First and foremost, just have to say, historic day yesterday. Great day to be a Nats fan.
Yep.
Numero uno. That's for sure. So real quick, I'll try to be brief. I just wanted to break down. I think it's a totally fair punishment. Just going line by line, draft picks, I would say, are significant. Baseball teams are made up of impact players and role players. Those impact players come out of the first and second rounds by and large. So I think missing out on those guys for 2 years is definitely going to make a dent. You know, you can't kill the team, but you definitely make a dent. Danny, I get your point about the maximum fine. The way I see $5 million is one good bench player or an average starter personally. And then I just think people were getting all hyped up about a lifetime ban where a 1 year suspension for baseball, think of it like life in prison versus the death penalty. You know, it's not like you can't suspend a guy for 2 years. What's the point of that? So you suspend him for 1 year, then after that you get to a lifetime ban.
Well, $5 million, bucks, by the way, real quick, it's not cap space. It's just, it's, you know, profit.
Yeah, it's just a fine.
It's just a fine.
You just have to stroke a check. That's almost nothing. I agree with the 1 year suspension. I don't think you go bigger than that.
No, that was
more
right
than
for
that.
Me.
That's a big, big deal. The guy that runs your front office and your manager, your head coach, so to speak, those guys are out for a year. People are acting like that's nothing. You kidding me? I mean, that's one of the best managers and the best executives in baseball.
I mean, the end of the day, they were cheating in ways that hasn't been done to an extent that hasn't been done in a long, long time. I accept that there's probably more who are doing it, and I don't think this is over. But that 2018 ALCS series where it was like the Nazi code breakers going back and forth with the Enigma machine, I mean, it must have been crazy. So I think what they shouldn't be able to do is anything related to marketing the championship. They shouldn't be able to hang a banner. They shouldn't be able to use it in any sort of marketing material. They shouldn't be able to claim the 2017 championship. You don't have to eliminate it. That's fine. Leave it in the record books, but they shouldn't be able to do it. And the second thing is they shouldn't be able to re-sign a player who was on that team. They can play out their contract, but after that, they're not allowed to re-sign them. Then you start to get to a punishment that actually has some validity and has some significance to the organization.
Maybe it's a good phone call. Thank you. Maybe he thinks like it's not that I don't think this is a big deal. When we originally talked about this, if you go back and pull the audio, mm-hmm. my point is you have to come down with a really powerful punishment because you can't have teams doing this. And I think that they did that. I can say at the same time, I don't think it's a contradiction. While this is a big deal, it's not the end of the world. And again, I have skepticism. I think there might be a lot of teams doing something like this. I really do. I think this happens a lot. Now, you could say, well, they're the ones that got caught. And you'd be correct. They are the ones that got caught. So do something about it. They did. To start talking about the getting rid of the marketing of your championship, we should get into that next because we didn't in this segment, and I want to. 800-636-1067. This idea of, like, vacating a title, what that would look like, how you'd actually go about doing it, would it have made any sense? What about Alex Cora? Should he keep his job with the Red Sox? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
It's a new year. Time for a new you. And how about a new Ford? Where should I get it, Danny? How about my friends at Ted Britt Ford, your F-150 HQ in Fairfax and Chantilly? 2019, Ford F-150 from Ted Britt. Get up to $15,000 below the MSRP. And this is not an or, this is an and. No payments for 60 days. How about a 2019 Ford Ranger truck? $8,000 below MSRP. Again, no payments for 60. 2019 Mustang, $9,000 below the MSRP. No payments for 60. $9,000 off a 2020 Ford Explorer. Ooh, no payments for 60 days on those as well. Here's the deal. I'm a three-time Ted Britt customer. I'm driving my third vehicle from Ted Britt Ford here over the years. They've made me very happy, so I like them a lot. So I'm going to go back when it's time for the fourth vehicle. Got my Fusion parked downstairs right now. The wife has herself the Ford Edge. We love it. We love Ted Britt Ford. The experience each and every time has been top-notch. Go to the place that treats you well. That's how Ted Britt Ford's been doing it for, I don't know, 60-plus years. Gotta go see him. It's perfect. When you go, don't.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.